Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
They were 151?
Yes, we're finished 150.
The tonsure of the head is ordained for the brahmana instead of capital punishment. The men of other caste shall suffer capital punishment. In other words, where there's a fine that would, a punishment that would capital punishment would be the normal standard, then brahmins would not be capitally punished. Then there would be shaving of the head. Like that, you know. Yeah, it means just completely shaving the head. There may be some other things, but it's just, in other words, he has hair shaved up because then you know he's done something, right? Because otherwise, you know, the Brahmin wouldn't be like that. Let him never slay a Brahmin, though he have committed all possible crimes. Let him banish such an offender, leaving all his property to him and his body unhurt. Right, so that's the standard. This will come be said a few times. So in other words, you don't take the property, but this is, Brahman means he's a practicing Brahman. He's been like that. You don't say, because he did that, that means he's not a Brahman. No, he's a Brahman, he makes a mistake. Right? Does that make sense? Because somehow or another, we only use that on Brahman. He was an administrator, he makes a mistake. We don't say, he was never an administrator. He's a businessman, he makes a mistake. Oh, he was never a businessman. You know what I'm saying? Brahman means what is the practice and lifestyle we follow.
It seems yes. That a Brahman can correct by himself.
Yes, like that. Because of the element he is practicing, so he's situated on that platform. But we're talking about Varna, not Ashram. Mm. Does that make sense? Mm. But because the devotee is Brahman by Ashram, therefore, then these things generally don't apply. That's right, for the devotees, then it's a matter of association, devotional activities, chanting, like that. That's the idea.
But we're talking practicing, we're not talking caste here.
No, even if it's, yeah, I mean, the point is that the caste means that's what he is practicing. Mm. Someone's defined by what they practice.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Like that. Yeah. No greater crime is known on earth than slaying a Brahmin. A king, therefore, must not even conceive in his mind the thought of killing a Brahmin. Right? Because here it's showing all the different things, that, depending on who's with who, then what kind of fines are there. Right? Yes.
Is it described anywhere how many mistakes a Brahmana can make before we start talking about, well, maybe he's not actually a practicing Brahmin?
No, you just, how does he maintain himself?
Mm, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He maintains himself by Brahminical activities, that's he's a Brahmin. Point is, you know, it means how many times is he going to be changing kingdoms before he figures out maybe he shouldn't be doing this? You know what I'm saying? Because the Brahmin is left with his possessions because you don't take the possessions of a Brahmin, right? But now he has to move. So for him, he has those as this facility. Others have them specifically because of their attachment, their prestige. So for others to take all the possessions wouldn't be a difficulty, though it's difficult to do. But for a Brahmin to take all his possessions, that's a problem. And besides that, because it's a problem, he's probably going to give a lot of it away. You know what I'm saying? So his position is automatically is a problem. Because he's had something there. He doesn't want something that changes. That's the point. Mode of goodness wants a steady position. So he has to shift that to somewhere else. That already is going to make him think very seriously. Yeah, he would be banished. The point is the purification through his sadhana. But if you're looking at it, means here, let's put something in perspective. Chutananda Kota, I forget which, it's I think one of the Puranas. If you're taking the general society, because this is what we're talking about here, right? Out of 1,000 people in your general society, 900 are Shudras, 90 are Vaishyas, 9 are Kshatriyas, 1 is a Brahmin. Does that put it more in perspective? And devotees have mentioned the Prabhupada talking about a proportion of a 64. So that may be in a, how you say, a devotional society. So I'm not sure what it is, but that's off of 64. How that works, I haven't seen it. I've heard a few different devotees talk about it, but I haven't seen it. Conclusion of thievery, adultery, defamation, violence, and assault. That king in whose town lives no thief, no adulterer, no defamer, no man guilty of violence, and no committer of assaults, attains the world of Indra. The suppression of those five in his dominion secures to a king paramount sovereignty among his peers and fame in the world. In other words, if you can keep these from being there, then your kingdom is safe. Right? If that's there, then other things naturally be taken care of. And other things, as you mentioned, the civil lawsuits, that's just because people aren't so controlled in their desires and everything like that, their behavior. But, you know, it's something that can be more easily dealt with. But these criminal lawsuits, they just shouldn't be happening. Miscellaneous rules. If twice-born men dispute among each other concerning the duty of the orders, a king who desires his own welfare should not hastily decide what is law. Having shown them due honor, he should, with the assistance of brahmanas, first soothe them by gentle speech and afterward teach them their duty. Right, because if there's a dispute on what actually is the duty of the varnas, he shouldn't immediately jump in. He should first see what's happening there, the mood of the people, you know, and then bring Brahmins who will then, you know, give some direction and all that, and then try to establish it. Because otherwise, much of the time it's the dispute's not specifically over the rule, but over the understanding of the application. Right, so it may have a few different ways it could be seen. Does that make sense? And people are working by, you know, someone's looking at it direct, someone's looking at it indirect, someone's making a mistake between direct and indirect, or they don't know the difference between spiritual and material. Does that make sense? So like that, you don't want to immediately jump in. Mm. Maybe there, wherever it may be, however the king comes across it. A blind man, an idiot, a cripple who moves with the help of a board, a man full 70 years old, and he who confers benefits on Shrotriyas should not be compelled by any king to pay tax. Okay, so these people don't pay tax. Others who are eligible do, but these don't. Better late than never, right? No?
No, if we complain then the board, they postpone.
Yeah, so here's the end of postponing. 70's the limit. Like that.
Because they take still in that list in the Finland, they take, you get retired and you take the money, but they still take the taxes.
So yeah,
even
so this
you are 90 and you get the thing, but here 70
is... Yeah, there's no tax, because how much you have is not much, so it's not like it's a lot. Let the king always treat a Kshatriya, a sick or diseased man, an infant and an aged or indigent man, a man of high birth and an honorable man. So he should always look, you know, kindly see how things can be worked out nicely for these, because either they're in a position of great respect, right, so what they're doing is so beneficial to society, or they themselves cannot take care very nicely. So their situation should always be looked at more kindly.
What was a Kshatriya?
Kshatriya is someone who is very learned. Oh. You know that verse, Kshatriya Brahmanishtam? Like that.
I'm not a very learned man.
Oh, okay. Tolls and duties. Let the king take 1/12 of that amount which men, well acquainted with the settlement of tolls and duties, and skillful in estimating the value of all kinds of merchandise, may fix as the value for each saleable commodity. Right, so that means let the king may take 5% of the established profit for each saleable commodity. That means you have a shop, that's one thing. Then you can, that's there, so you can deal with whatever is going to be happening there. But people who are bringing goods like that, you don't know that they're going to be there and they're going to go, so before they come in, then you can take a tax or a toll. Right? Does that make sense? Mm. That's when it's taken. Someone has a shop, they're not going away. But someone who just brings in goods, sells them the market and leaves again, then they pay a duty. So 5% of whatever would be the understandable profit, that's what would be taken. So he has this much goods, and so therefore if he sells this all, he would make this much profit by today's price. So therefore 5% of that he has to pay. Mm. Right? So that's fair enough. Let the king fix the rates for the purchase and sale of all marketable goods, having duly considered whence they come, whither they go, how long they have been kept, the probable profit, and the probable outlay. Once in 5 nights, or at the close of each fortnight, let the king publicly settle the prices for the merchants. All weights and measures must be duly marked, and once in 6 months, let him re-examine them. Right, so... Every 5 days or every 2 weeks, he is setting the prices publicly, right? Otherwise, people go crazy and do all kinds of stupid stuff, right? That's the whole point. If you can make profit, why wouldn't the vice should do it? Mm-hmm. So you're trying to limit that, but they are careful and just do something proper. Because it seems like you do it, you get the profit, but what you miss is that everybody puts it up, so now everything becomes more expensive. And so then there's whole thing, and you can't judge what's going to go up when. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, still this system is going on because the government decide the price of the grains and vegetables.
Yeah, in general, but some of the things they don't worry about, like you know, track shoes or you know stuff like that. So they would fix what is there on everything, whatever's in the market. So that way it doesn't unnecessarily go up. Otherwise, people always try to drive up the price, but the point is what's the actual value? Right? Inflation is, it's not worth that much. Does that make sense? Because people just automatically try to get more. If it's fixed, then it stays at that rate. Right? You know what I'm saying? Maybe you don't make more profit today, but you also don't lose more. Right? I get more for this, but I pay more for something else. You understand? And weights and measures, that he always must check that they're correct.
At that time, there is no, it was good, the way to exchange?
Whatever it would be, whatever it is. If it's barter, it's gold, it's whatever it is. Because he's using Karshapanas and all these other things here. So that means that there would be some variety of money. Yes. You know, but it's based on, you have gold coins, you have silver coins, you have copper coins.
Yes.
Right? So the Karshapana, I think, is down to copper coins. So generally, all the old systems all have that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So it's a standard, you know, yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it would be whatever would be the medium that they're trading in. But also they can give goods because the goods have value. So if the person doesn't have money, he can give goods, and then those goods the king sells. He has an office that sells those things. Right? Because like if you're dealing in forest goods, they just collect it from the forest. They don't have money. So you get so much of that. You get a percentage of that. Then you sell it. Right? Or it's used, given in charity, whatever. Does that make sense? You know, because at that level, it has the least markup. So also the amount gained is more. But if it's processed, then it's according to what would be the market rate. Does that make sense? I mean, a farmer is there, so you generally would take 18 to maximum 25% of what is produced, right? But then there's nothing done with it, right? It's right there and it's locally collected. But when you're dealing with things that are in shops, that means it didn't come from there. The raw material came from somewhere else and then is transformed into something. So now what's the profit of that? That then here then is the natural thing is 5%. Though then another place he gets into more detail exactly, because certain things then are more or less. Because some things you naturally make more profit off and some things you make less profit off. So depending on what it is, it has a variable. Is that? Through his agents or himself. But it just says let the king publicly. So whether he does it himself or he has his minister do it. But the point is it's public. You go to the market, in the market, it's discussed. Because the point is the season, let's say you're just talking about mangoes. So one year the tree produces more leaves, one year the tree produces more fruit. Right? So the year it produces more fruit, price will be less. The year it produces more leaves, the price will be more. So now the volume of what people want, if it's the year of the year of the mango, right? So then it's going to be more locally available, right? But if it's the year of the leaves, then it's going to keep the volume they're going to have to bring from somewhere else. So that means then not only is it more rare, but you have to transport it. So all those considerations are there, therefore the price is this much. So it's fair, they get their profit. But the point is they don't get more than their profit. Because right? Otherwise, if they can, standard is, like in the Indian things, they'll try to get five times, which is normal thing. Right? It means if you're in a marketplace where, you know, the stuff's sitting there in a pile, then there's every chance that what they're telling you is five times what the actual price is. Does that make sense? Right. So it's like if the guy he says, you ask him how much and he says 100 rupees, you know, and then he says, no, that's too much, I'll give you 90. No, 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 that's that, no, we'll lose this and that, you know, 98, you know, okay, no, this, that, you know, finally, so. But if the guy goes 100, and you look at it and you go, I'll give you 15, then he goes, okay, 25, you know, and you settle at 20. Like that, because he knows you know the price. But if he thinks you don't know the price, and whatever it is, you're willing to go, no, that's right, I won't pay more than 80, okay, 90. You know, it's like that. No, yeah. Is that, yeah. So this basically works for most of the world where the goods that you see are sitting in a pile, right? If they're in some flashy place and all that, then it's they've got another, it's still the same five, but there's no bargaining, that's all.
It seems that in the market, all the shopkeepers, they sell the same good for the same price.
Yeah, basically. But at the same time, that's what's worked out with the market people, so it's probably not in front of everybody.
Okay,
yes. You know what I'm saying? But even if it is, the point is that's the rate.
Yes.
But you want the price, maybe you'll sell it, but look, that's making your whatever profit you're going to make. Let's say it's 20%. But to get there's everybody selling that, so you may sell it for 15%.
Yes, yes.
So that's why you get it. Or they like the way you deal, so they go to you. You know what I'm saying? Because the old means the concept of a mall, you know, is actually Vedic. It doesn't have the external looks to it. You go to buy oranges, there's 20 guys sitting in a line selling oranges. You know, so you go to the first one, he gives you an outrageous price, so then if you buy it, great, he made the profit, and then all the others are grumbling because they're farther down the line. But if you say the outrageous price and you say that's stupid, and then you walk to the next guy, then he feels, oh, that was the disadvantage being first. And then the others, you know, see what you're going to do, and then like that. Or you have the guy you like, so you always go to him, right? So therefore he charges you, you know, a good price, and once you're comfortable and always come to him, then he raises the price and makes his profit. You like that. So, way it works. The king should order a vaishya to trade, to lend money, to cultivate the land or to tend cattle, and a shudra to serve the twice-born castes. But a Brahmin who, because he is powerful, out of greed makes initiated men of the twice-born caste, against their will do the work of slaves, shall be fined by the king 600 panas. Means, in other words, everyone should do their work, but if they're in a difficult situation, so they're working at something lower, but if a Brahmin is taking advantage of that, then he'll be fine. In other words, people can't take advantage because someone is in a difficult situation. But a Shudra, he may be compelled to do servile work, for he was created by the self-existent Swayambhu to be the servant of a Brahmin. He's supposed to be the servant of Brahmana. He can't, that's not available. Then he'll be a servant of a Kshatriya. If that's not available, then servant of a Vaishya. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. If that's not available, then he'll do skilled trades.
So is there a hierarchy within the Shudras based on whether they're working for a Brahmana, Kshatriya?
No, it's just their interaction will be based on what it is they're interacting with. Like that. That's all. Shudra, though emancipated by his master, is not released from servitude, since that is innate in him. Who can set him free from it? Right? I mean, it's the nature of someone. It's just because you're not working for someone doesn't mean that you're not that anymore. Someone's a skilled laborer and he's working for one company. When he's released from that company or he quits that company, it's not that he's no longer has that skill. Right? In other words, the point is everyone has their nature. So that's the work that they do. Right? If you establish themselves doing some other work, then that's different. But that means it's his background, his work, his attitude, these things are all considered. Right? The nature itself, like that is seen. And then if he does that other thing nicely, then you don't worry about it. Right? Does that make sense? Let's say he's born in a Shudra family, but he's able to perform the rabbinical activities with the proper attitude, everything. Then he's counted as a Brahmin. right? But if someone from a Brahmin family doesn't act in that way but acts as a Shudra, he'll be assigned the duties of a Shudra. Does that make sense? So it's according to what is your nature, right? In other words, so it's a free market, right? But the point is you actually have to do it. So what is being meant here is that the Kshatriya and the Vaishya can do other work. Why they should be doing just menial work? Shudras do that, so that's what they're supposed to do. That's dignified work for a Shudra, because that's what he does. Does that make sense? If a carpenter does carpenter, you won't say, oh, this is below his means, because this is what he does. But the Kshatriya and the Vaishya could do more than that, so why would someone engage them that way? Right? Does that make sense? The Brahmin might engage the Vaishya in tending his fields, or, you know, selling things for that, or tending his cows, or seeing to that, because that's what he knows how to do. Right? Because in other words, here you're talking about a Brahmin generally who's well situated. You know, who's powerful. Does that make sense? So your idea is that someone shouldn't engage someone below their nature. They should engage them at that position. A wife, a son, and a Shudra, these three are declared to have no property. The wealth which they earn is acquired for him to whom they belong. Riti, with regards to a wife, the gifts they received are their own properly, but that earned by work belongs to whom they are dependent upon. Does that make a difference? Right? The wife, she has her own property, but if she's working, or just like the son is working, but he's living with the father, then the money the son makes technically is the father's. Right? But the father, to inspire, should see that he's getting what he needs. Because he has a place to stay, he's getting food, but he wants to buy this, that, or do something, or he has a plan or something. So as long as it's worked out, the father is satisfied, that's where it goes. Right? The father just takes it. You can say technically he can do that, but then the son's not going to be happy to work. Why will he be inspired? So then that's not going to work out good. Does that make sense? The king should carefully compel Vaishyas and Shudras to perform the work prescribed for them. For if these two castes swerve from their duties, they would throw this whole world into confusion. Right? Because as we mentioned, you're talking about 990 out of 1,000 people here. If they're not doing their work, then everything becomes thrown out of shape. Right? Does that make sense? So, because the proportion is like that, because that's actually what it requires to do all these things. Right? The Brahmins need very few people to assist them. That's why most Shudras are working for someone else. How many does a Brahmin require? Right? Kshatriyas, most of the kingdom that they're using is Shudras. Right? The ministers aren't. Right? But they're bureaucrats, they're policemen, much of their warriors. You know, the spies, all these things, they're all come in that category. So that's huge. And administration is a lot of people. The business, also a big business. You have thousands of people. You know, a big factory, they have 10,000 people working for them. So that way so if they don't do their work, then it won't function. But at the same time, as we see in other places, that they should get their due. Right? The Shudras should be doing their work, but they should get what they require. Right, so if the businessmen aren't sending the prices up, right, because they're trying to get more profit out of it, but they're not. They're trying to do that by giving less to their workers, right? But then their worker has to buy the now increased prices of goods. How is that going to work? Therefore, then they have strikes and unions, all these different things. But if the prices are regulated, and they're getting their proper amount, then there's no need of not working, or no need to create a problem. Does that make sense? So everything works out, but because everybody's doing their jobs. Because that's generally where your main problem comes. Businessmen don't want to give the proper amount or want to charge too much. Right? Therefore, the workers don't want to work or want more money. Does that make sense? So if it's balanced, most of your economic problem is not there. The king's... Let him daily look after the completion of his undertakings, his beasts of burden and carriages, the collection of his revenues, and the disbursements, his mines and his treasury. The king who thus brings to a conclusion all the legal business enumerated above and removes all sin reaches the highest state of bliss. Yeah, even on the material platform, the king is, all this is going perfectly. That's considered one unit of bliss. Right? And then your Gandharvas and that, then it's 100 times more than that. That's just standard. Okay, that's discourse. So discourse 9. Domestic concerns. Legal title 16. Normally you're supposed to send it to America.
Send it to America?
When he goes like this, I mean send it to America.
Okay.
You don't know that one?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's a problem. Even if I do say something up to date, no one understands what I'm talking about. Well. So it's a lost cause.
Yeah,
okay.
It's just
I will now, okay, domestic concerns, legal titles 16 and 17. Right, because there's 18 laws, right? Yeah, so this is now, that was 15 of the laws, mm-hmm. Right? 10 were civil, yeah. 10 were, 5 were criminal,
yes.
And now 2 are domestic,
mm-hmm.
Right?
The last one is removing men, not just my phone.
Yes, and the last one is, you know, getting rid of the really bad stuff. Like that. Okay. Legal title 16, the laws concerning husband and wife. I will now propound the eternal laws for a husband and his wife who keep to the path of duty, whether they be united or separated. Right, so he says eternal laws, so he's not saying that they don't apply now. They always apply. So these are the laws that apply. You know, whether you want to follow them, that's another thing. regulation of relations between husband and wife. Okay, protection of women. Day and night, women must be kept in dependence by the males of their families. And if they attach themselves to sensual enjoyments, they must be kept under one's control. Okay, her father protects her in childhood, her husband protects her in youth, and her sons protect her in old age. A woman is never fit for independence. Riki. Srila Prabhupada states in his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 9.10.11. A further understanding to be derived from this example is that a woman, however powerful she may be in the material world, must be given protection. For as soon as she is unprotected, she will be exploited by rakshasas like Ravana. Here the words Vaidehi Raja Duhitari indicate that before Mother Sita was married to Lord Ramachandra, she was protected by her father, Vaideha Raja, and when she was married, she was protected by her husband. Therefore, the conclusion is that a woman should always be protected. According to the Vedic rule, there is no scope for a woman's being independent. Asamaksham. For a woman cannot protect herself independently. Okay, so imagine no matter how powerful. So, said must be kept independence. So, but this point is, what does kept mean? Yeah, but why wouldn't she want to go away? So if you're kept independence, means she would be comfortable with that. Because here, the protection is an attitude. Right? If a woman's not satisfied, then there's trouble. Mm-hmm. Right? So the point is that she must be dealing in such a way, the men have to be dealing in such a way she's satisfied. So she's trying to protect herself, therefore they can create the environment she can be protected. Does that make sense?
Mm.
So that's the point. Not that it's just all on her, that she has, no. The point is the men have to create that environment she's comfortable.
Mm.
Right? Because otherwise, if they're not, the first thing is they want to go away. Right? That's automatic. right? Means, in other words, if the lady's around, then there is, how you say, prospect that you can take care. But if they don't see that there's any opportunity, they'll just go. Does that make sense? So being kept in dependence means you're dealing in such a way that she is comfortable. Right? Does that make sense? Right, yeah. Reprehensible is the father who gives not his daughter in marriage at the appropriate proper time. Reprehensible is the husband who approaches not his wife in due season. And reprehensible is the son who does not protect his mother after her husband has died. Women must particularly be guarded against temptations, however trifling they may appear, for if they are not guarded, they will bring sorrow on two families. Right? Their family and the husband's family. Because little things get big. Because you're dealing with emotions, you're not dealing... Men are looking at it, there's a thing. And how much can that thing do? But you're not talking about the emotional quality of the thing. The emotional quality can be great or not, depending upon how it's perceived. Right? So that's why one should always see that everything is arranged very properly. Right? So that means also, is that taking care, seeing that the arrangements are nice, and also giving proper association, proper guidance, right? But that means, then how is that guide, just because you said it, if she doesn't accept it, right? If the teacher says stuff and none of the students learn, then what? Do we say that, he's a great teacher and everybody else is a bozo? No. The point is he's got to guide in a way that is appreciated, right? Does that make sense? Now this brings in the difficulty, right? Because the feminine nature is that of variety. So what you said last time is not going to work this time. You know what I'm saying? There has to be some adjustment. The angle, the example. Does that make sense? So what does that require? What shows the options?
Intelligence.
The intelligence. So men always consider themselves more intelligent. This is how you tell if you are. If you can come up with newer and newer ideas, that means you're intelligent. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the way it works. So we can say, it's all about the women. Yeah, it is all about the women, but it's all about the men dealing in such a way that the women are controlled. Does that make sense? Because it's a matter of husband and wife are a relationship. That means it has to be based on making the relationship work. Does that make sense? It's not that, this is your duty, you got to do it, and then that's it. Considering that the highest duty of all castes, even weak husbands, must strive to guard their wives. He who carefully guards his wife preserves the purity of his offspring, virtuous conduct, his family, himself, and his means of acquiring merit. Right? Because the wife is involved in all this. The husband, after his wife conceives, becomes an embryo, and he is born again of her, for that is the wifehood of a wifehood of a wife, Jaya, that he is born Jayate again by her. Right? That's why it said the son is not different from the father. As the male is to whom a wife cleaves, even so is the son whom she brings forth. Let him therefore carefully guard his wife in order to keep his offspring pure. Right? Because if consciousness is not good, then you have a not very good replicate of yourself. Right? You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine, having to, means you're doing okay, but you have to deal with yourself on a bad day? It's not that you're having a bad day, so you're dealing with yourself on a bad day. You're okay, but you're having to deal with yourself on a bad day? You know, it's like, you can talk to the guy in the mirror, No? Like that. And so then you can say whatever you want.
Make some obscene gestures back at you.
Like that. You know, like
you're this. Talking to me.
Yeah, so the whole thing you can do. But the point is what happens is, are you talking to me? He says, yeah, I'm talking to you. It's like, oh, no. Okay, so that's what it means. The son means he talks back. No man can completely guard women by force, but they can be guarded by the employment of the following expedients. Right? Because it'll come up later. It's later, or it's already been dealt with? No, we already dealt with it. It was in the first group. That a woman who's guarding herself, a man can guard such a woman. But a woman who's not guarding herself, no man can guard her. Right? Because women are four times more clever than men. So the ways to get out of being guarded are, you know, much greater than his cleverness to get it done. Let the husband employ his wife in the collection and expenditure of his wealth, in keeping everything clean, in the fulfillment of religious duties, in the preparation of his food, and in looking after the household utensils. Right? Everyone goes, see, you're supposed to clean up the food. It also says, take care of the expenditures. Hey, wait a minute. So they all kind of go together. Women confined in the house under trustworthy and obedient servants are not well guarded, but those who, of their own accord, keep guard over themselves are well guarded. Okay, well, here was the verse. It was the next verse. Is that meant? Right. So if they're of their own accord keep guard, why would they of their own accord keep guard of themselves?
Because they're happy,
they're satisfied, they would want to be. So that means because the men are dealing properly. So it's not, it says even weak husbands, so it's not a matter of so much prowess or this or that. Mm. It's a matter of the attitude in which it's done. Mm. Does that make sense? So everybody can properly deal like that. Drinking spirituous liquor, associating with wicked people, separation from the husband, rambling abroad, sleeping at unseasonable hours, and dwelling in other men's houses are the six causes of the ruin of women. Okay. Only question comes is, what happens if the husband's a wicked person? Probably make it go bad also. Yes.
Why sleeping at improper time?
Sleeping at improper time.
Hot hair day?
No, because the point of you sleeping the day when you should be doing stuff, then nothing gets done. So then when are you going to be awake? At night. Do you wash your clothes at night? You know what I'm saying? Clean the house? No, so then you party. Okay. Through their passion for men, through their mutable temper, through their natural heartlessness, they become disloyal towards their husbands, however carefully they be guarded in this world.
I admitted one. Was it a
Freudian slip here, was it? Women do not care for beauty, nor is their attention fixed on age, thinking it is enough, he is a man. They give themselves to the handsome and to the ugly. Like that. Then there's what's presented.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So the point is what's presented is what you deal with.
Yes.
Like that.
I like this one.
But the point is here, because just because the guy is doing his duty, it's not enough. Right? It's that it has to be done in a way that she is pleased with it. You know what I'm saying? He's going to work, he's making the money, he's made a nice house, he has all this stuff, but where's the interaction? Where's the mood that is attractive? Right? Because that's what it means. The men may be... I'm sorry. not in this one. I think it's another place. Yeah, there's another one somewhere. The point is, it doesn't matter how nicely he's doing his duty. The point is what's the attitude in which the duty is done? You know what I'm saying? Because it's not, there's no variety, so why will it be attractive? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
In reality, this is very hard to practice for us.
But that's what it is. If you can't do it, don't get involved.
But when you are
we have 400 temples around the world. They're probably all looking for a brahmachari. Right, you know, so opportunity awaits. Okay, so then you have to, you know, apply yourself. That's the point. Knowing their disposition which the Lord of creatures laid in them at the creation, to be such, every man should most strenuously exert himself to guard them. Strenuously exert, not just, well, I'm doing as much as I can, I can't do more. No, strenuously, and it must be consistent. You know what I'm saying? So that's just the way it works. You know, we have this idea, well, I don't want to work so hard, but I still should get all the benefits. No, you work hard, you get the benefits. You don't work hard, you don't get the benefits. So that's why in the Vedic is, you remain the brahmachari. And if you thought, okay, I can do this, then he gets married. Yeah. But he knows what he's getting involved in. Mm-hmm. Right? Nowadays, they're getting involved in what they think it should be, not what it is. Because if you can't deal with what it is, then things aren't going to be what they should be. When creating them, Manu allotted to women a love of their bed, of their seat, and of ornament, impure desires, wrath, dishonesty, malice, and bad conduct. Yeah, so in other words, what their bed, their seat, that's theirs. Don't try to use it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you can say what you like, you have the bed, right? Okay, both sleep in the bed, okay? And that, but if during the day, after the bed's made, you go and sit on it and make a mess, then what happens? Right? Yeah, so the point is it's her bed. Right? Where she likes to sit, that's her seat. Right? That's just the way it is. Understand? So where she likes, that's where she sits. You work around that. It's even mentioned when you go to someone else's house, they ask you to sit. If it's obvious, you know, where they sit, then you can sit somewhere. If it's not obvious, you might ask where to sit. Because even though there's a couch and the, you know, this, but where the host likes to sit, that he should be able to sit in his spot. Right? Because then he's the most comfortable. So he'll deal the nicest. Because it's about dealings, not about this. So you respect that, then the dealings are nice. Does that make sense? So that's just the way it works. Okay. Assuming the husband's qualities. Whatever be the qualities of the man with whom a woman is united, according to the law, such qualities even she assumes like a river united with the ocean. So the thing is that if you deal properly, according to what was said before, and strenuously exerts himself, right? Then, you know, according to the proper thing, then she takes on his qualities. Like that. So then it's so much easier, right? But now, this is the inferred element of this point. What if you don't have any good qualities?
You take some of the bad qualities.
Yes, that's the point. So if you want her to have good qualities, means you have to have good qualities. So what does that mean? means you have to be acting in a way that's proper. You're acting in a way that's proper and taking care, then she'll develop all those good qualities. You don't have good qualities, she'll develop all your bad qualities. You're lazy, she'll become lazy. You're dirty, she'll become dirty. You understand? You're nasty, she'll become nasty. Because these other lying things are what they keep. You don't see impure desires, wrath, dishonesty, malice, and bad conduct. It's there, but that's kept in control. But only if you behave nicely. You don't behave nicely, you know, they can, you know, you think you're bad. You know, you haven't met bad. You know what I'm saying? Right? What's that saying? Yeah. Yes, but which men are saying that? Not to say bad men, but I'm saying how you said it. But if they're actually quoting it, one, it's something you have to know, so they're educated. One, it's said poetically. They don't change the word. You know what I'm saying? People don't say, nobody can be as bad as a woman's bad. Right? No, they always say it like that. So generally, it's those of a more dignified nature use it. More powerful, more wealthy, more, you understand? Or at least more had the culture or the knowledge. You know? Does that make sense? So the point is, in other words, she's doing nice, but don't make her upset by improper dealings. Otherwise, then, does that make sense? Then all these things might come out. So they're there, they're inherent, people know they're there, but they don't talk about them because if it's dealt properly, you don't see them. Does that make sense? You know. Right? You know, like the policeman walks around with a gun. If you're good, he doesn't pull the gun out. You're bad, the gun comes out. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's like that. Akshamala, a woman of the lowest birth, being united to Vashishta, and Sharangi, being united to Mandapala, became worthy of honor. Right, so Vashishta is, you know, one of the Saptarishis, but somehow or another his wife was from a very, very low background, but she was very qualified. So she took on the qualities like he had. Right, so same here also, Mandapala and Sharangi. These and other females of low birth have attained eminence in this world by the respective good qualities of the husband. Thus has been declared the ever-pure popular usage, which regulates the relations between husband and wife. Right? Okay. So here's the usage means it's going on and people are using it and getting benefit. And he said eternal laws means you use it now, it'll work. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You want to have a fight over semantics of words and this looks bad and that. No, this is just talking about what you're dealing with. But the point is it says, which regulates the relations between husband and wife. So that means it shows what is the nature of the women. It shows then what, therefore, the men have to do. And by doing that, then that nature that the men have, the women will take on that nature. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. The children take on the nature of the mother?
The boys take on the nature of the mother, the girls the father. That's the next. Here next, the laws concerning children, which are the cause of happiness in this world and after death. Right? Why after death?
Offerings to the forefathers.
It means it's talking about the man here. So after his death, so still they bring happiness. Not that after he dies, then the children are happy. It's not inferring that. Okay, the laws concerning children. Now, the glories of women, right? So it's first making the point that this is the nature. Now, here's the when the qualities are able to flourish, this is what you see. There's no difference whatsoever between the goddess of fortune, Shriya, who resides in the house of men, and wives, Striya, who secure many blessings for the sake of bearing children, who are worthy of worship and irradiate their dwellings. Right? There's no difference between the goddess of fortune and the proper wife. There's no difference. But now we've seen how that's going to happen. Right? And it says who are worthy of worship. So the other is that, okay, this is what they're supposed to do, so then there's no respect there. Because generally when it's dealt with, it's, oh, that's their duty, they're supposed to be submissive, but where's the respect? It's not dealing with respect. So it's dealt with respect, then it works. The production of children, the nurture of those born, and the daily life of men. Of these matters, women is visibly the cause. The daily life means what you do, how you live, what you eat, how the house is arranged, all that. That's obvious, it's the women. Because anybody who knew the guy before the woman knew it wasn't like that. You know, or they knew, okay, it was like that, but that was because of his mother. Right? Like that. So that's obvious. Because as I said, visibly the cause, not saying in the background, visibly the cause in these areas. Offspring, the due performance of religious rites, faithful service, and conjugal happiness depend on one's wife alone. Right, and mentioned here the heavenly bliss for the ancestors, that's because then you have to produce the son will then do the rites. Right. She who, controlling her thoughts, speech, and acts, violates not her duty towards her Lord, in this world is called by the virtuous a faithful wife, sadvi. But for disloyalty to her husband, a wife is censured amongst men, and in the next life, yes. Not necessarily, but yes. Oh well, they sing nice at night.
Yeah.
Now, what happens in areas where they don't have jackals? They have to go somewhere else. Listen now to the following. It means the same time as the husband, as he doesn't behave properly. There's all kinds of things. So, you know, that comes in another section. Listen now to the following holy discussion, salutary to all men. Okay, importance of the seed in the field, which the virtuous of the present day and the ancient sages have held concerning male offspring. Right? The present day. This is a discussion going on in the presence of Lord Brahma, right, with Bhrigu. He's talking about the present day, and then there's the ancient great sages.
Yeah.
Right? So this conversation may have been millions of years ago, you know, and they're talking about the ancients before them, you know, who are, They all say that the male issue of a woman belongs to the Lord. But with respect to the meaning of the term Lord, the revealed texts differ. Some call the begetter of the child the Lord. Others declare that it is the owner of the soil. Right? So this is an important point. If it's understood, it makes all these, whatever nowadays comes up as so much discussion, very simple. By the sacred tradition, the woman is declared to be the soil. The man is declared to be the seed. The production of all corporal beings takes place through the union of the soil with the seed. In some cases, the seed is more distinguished, and in some cases, the womb of the female. But when both are equal, the offspring is most highly esteemed. That's why it says in the beginning that marriage should be amongst equals. Right? The nature is equal. Right? It doesn't matter the background. Right? The nature itself, how they relate, how they do, how they see, that's equal. Then it's very good to get very good children. But let's see, just like Vashishta, his wife may have been from a lower background, but the nature was such that she could move with whatever he did. So therefore, then they have very proper children. Right? But if she remained in the character like a low-class woman, then they wouldn't have good children. So that's the whole point. On comparing the seed and the receptacle of the seed is declared to be more important, for the offspring of all created beings is marked by the characteristics of the seed. Whatever kind of seed is sown in the field, prepared in due season, a plant of that same kind, marked with the particular qualities of the seed, spring up from it. Right? In other words, you plant an eggplant, you'll get an eggplant. But the quality of the eggplant is going to depend upon the quality of the soil. That's the point.
Mm-hmm. And in this case, soil is the woman and the seed is the man.
Yes. This earth indeed is called the primeval womb of created beings. But the seed develops not in its development by properties of the womb. In this world, seeds of different kinds sown at the proper time in the land, even in one field, come forth each according to its own kind. Right? Because otherwise, you have all these, you'll get all these different natures, even though it's the same field. Right?
So that's again the timing, when you time, because as a farmer, they have the
season. Well, that's why he uses in season. Right? In this world, seeds of different kinds sown at the proper time in the land. Right? You understand? In other words, if you want to understand this point, you have to actually think of seeds and field. You know what I'm saying? If you're thinking of semen and ovum and sexual intercourse, you'll never understand this because you won't be able to catch it. You'll be so distracted. It has to be seed and field. Because that's what we're working with. Then it's very clear to understand what the law is.
Yeah, then it's very easy to understand that you have to look at the sky also to know when it's the proper time to make good offsprings. That's
yes.
Very important.
Yes. But the point here is not that. That's in a different literature. This is what's the quality of what's there and who does it belong to. Okay?
The sages in Srimad Bhagavatam, they used to perfect themselves and they'd come together and make a child. So what is the effect of like purifying the mind, or is it what is it?
Well, what kind of child would they have? Yeah. You understand?
So is it the purity of the mind or the consciousness or what?
The mind, what does that indicate? What do you think about?
According to the consciousness.
Yes, according to the consciousness. So if the consciousness is good, then that means the child would be good. So that's why you want equal nature. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, the Brahman may be higher than a Kshatriya or a Vaishya, but if two equal natured Vaishyas have a child, then they'll get a nice Vaishya. You know what I'm saying? So the point is that you get a nice something. You understand? You don't want something that's half this and half that and they can't figure out who it is. You know what I'm saying? Before they didn't have to have somebody, you know, you didn't have to go into a room in high school for them to help you figure out what you should do in college. You knew. As you look at successful people, one of the things one notes about them, from when they're small, they know what they want to do when they're big. So that means that was equal nature. Right? Therefore they were focused, knew what they wanted to do. And we can see the result. They're successful. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes these persons are coming from very simple or poor backgrounds. But the nature of the parents was equal. Therefore, you had a child who knew who they were. And the first thing to get anything done is to know who you are. So they know who they are, they're confident. So therefore, they can achieve whatever it is that they're capable of doing. But you have others born in very much better backgrounds, but because the nature is so different, or the consciousness is so off, therefore, they can't function, they can't get anything done. Yes. So that's why these things are to be taken seriously. We may say whatever we like, but this is, you know, this is the way it works. The rice called vrihi, and that called shali. Mug beans, sesame, masha beans, barley, leeks, and sugarcane all spring up according to their seed. Right? You plant an onion, you get an onion. And it doesn't turn into something else. That one plant should be sown and another be produced cannot happen. Whatever seed is sown, a plant of that kind even comes forth. Seed sown in another's field is lost. So here comes the point. Never, therefore, must a prudent, well-trained man who knows the Veda and its angas and desires long life cohabitate with another's wife. With respect to this matter, those acquainted with the past recite some stanzas sung by Vayu, the wind, to show that seed must not be sown by any man on that which belongs to another. As the arrow shot by a hunter, who afterwards hits a wounded deer in the wound made by another, is shot in vain, even so the seed sown on what belongs to another is quickly lost to the sower. Right? That means if I take I have a bag full of seeds, I take them to my neighbor's land and plant them there, what grows is his. I can't say, well, they're my seed. It doesn't matter. Who owns the field? It belongs to them. That's the way it works. You know, now Marlon will fight over this. No, it's who owns the field? It belongs to them. That's all. Sages who know the past call this earth Prithivi, even the wife of Prithu. They declare a field to belong to him who cleared away the timber, and a deer to him who first wounded it. All right, so in other words, the one who's cultivated it, that's who it belongs to. He only is a perfect man who consists of three persons united, his wife, himself, and his offspring. Thus, says the Veda, and learned Brahmanas propound this maxim likewise, the husband is declared to be one with the wife. Neither by sale nor by repudiation is the wife released from her husband. Such we know the law to be, which the Lord of creatures, Prajapati, made of old. Right? Priti. When Draupadi was dragged into the assembly during Drona's gambling match, there was a point of confusion regarding whether or not she was released from her husband. Right? So this is the point she's quoting from, is that, you know, you can't be lost. Right? If somehow or another there's a gambling match, the husband's lost, that means his wife is lost with him, not that it's separate, because you can't separate them. Yes.
By sale of the wife?
Still, she's your wife.
But the concept of sale of the wife?
Is that what you're going to get from this?
No, I'm sorry, I maybe missed something.
You missed something. It started about 15 verses ago. Actually started before that, the beginning of this chapter. What they're saying, because they're saying is, you separate the husband and wife, even if you sold the wife, we're talking here, what would be?
Hypothetically.
Still, she's connected with her husband. It doesn't matter what the situation. You can't separate husband and wife as a legal entity. You know what I'm saying? They may be living together, they may be living apart. That's what it said in the beginning. These laws apply whether they're living together or not. They're husband and wife. They go together. Does that make sense? So it's not saying here specifically that you can sell wives. It's giving you an example.
I saw earlier in the small print, you know, saying about that.
You always got to watch the fine print.
Right? Yeah, if somebody offers some goods, aka a wife, she's less qualified than, or he states more qualified than she actually is, then one gets that one plus another one for the same, like, dowry or something like that.
But this is the wedding.
Yeah, that's, I'm just
this is the point, is that, do you remember before when we were discussing the eight kinds of weddings? Right? And what was the Asura wedding?
Taking
no, that was Rakshasa. The Asura is selling the daughter. It's not called selling the daughter, but it's just you want to marry the daughter, you have to give a very nice donation. Right? But it's technically selling the daughter. So amongst a certain class of people, they do that. That's standard for them. But no cultured people generally do that.
More like in the Muslim countries.
The point is that comes up is because they're not valuing their daughters. So if you put a good price on them, they'll value the daughter. Right?
Yes.
And you're saying?
And they take care of
Yeah, so then they'll take care. Does that make sense? So therefore, if it's necessary, it can be used. These are the eight ways that a husband and wife can be united. But it doesn't recommend that you ever use the Asura and the Paisach. Never in any of the yugas. Right? The other six can be used in all four yugas. Right? But in the Kali Yuga, you only use the first four. Right? You don't use Gandharva or Rakshasa. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is understanding that. In other words, you don't isolate the thing. You have to take the whole thing. Because they're talking about somebody's life, but they can't talk about everything all at once. You know what I'm saying? It takes 12 chapters to discuss it all. So therefore, the husband and wife, then, and you say, that what you were talking about there is if he says the daughter is more qualified than she actually is, right? Then at the time of marriage, then, you know, there's either a fine, you can cancel the marriage if it's early enough, or he has to give two daughters. These are ways to work it out. You know what I'm saying? But what class of people are you looking at that would do stuff like that? You understand? But the point is even if someone's not very cultured, you still have to have a form in which uncultured people are at least trying to follow the Veda. Because they're following authority. That's the point. But it already mentioned that those of equal nature will get married. So that means then things would be worked out and, you know, properly so that they are. Because remember, as we talked about, that you're talking about 90% of the society might do tricks like that. But the leadership then is not supposed to be involved in that. That's the 10%. You know what I'm saying? But you have to address it because you're talking about a volume of society. Right? Now, if you look at it, now the usage where we hear of men beating their wives, is that something that has never been heard of? Is it kind of like a commonly accepted that these things may happen? Okay, but someone from a cultured family, it never happens. You understand? So the laws have to cover all what should never be happening, but these things may happen. So therefore, they have something to deal with. You know what I'm saying? Because even here, the point is why would this be discussed? You know what I'm saying? Another man sleeps with another man's wife, and she has a child, and then he'll try to claim it's my child. But he can't. Now, should that be happening? You understand?
Damage control.
Yeah, so it's how to deal with these things and who's... Because the important thing of this is for inheritance. Because with inheritance goes Shraddha rights. Does that make sense? So that's why all these will be there, all the things on Varnashankara, all that, because it's all ultimately connected to the Shraddha rights. Does that make sense?
Hari Om. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai
Nitai Govardhana ki.
We can take a class more.
Hmm?
We can take a class more.
Yeah, just keep going.
Yeah.